Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm excited today as we continue an amazing series on Isaiah, the gospel prophet. Welcome. I've got a special gift to tell you about, but first, welcome to the team. Take a look. It's the remnant, right? Gideon's band, because of our restrictions with COVID-19. But hasn't God been blessing in this series?
Yes.
And I'm excited because one of our team, Travis, is going to be teaching today. Powerful lesson, Comfort My People. And I'm thinking we need comfort in these difficult times. But the Word of God is so powerful and gives us hope. We've actually got a special gift for you for this series on Isaiah, the gospel prophet. It's a digital audio book you can download called Radical Evidence. This book will change your life because just as Isaiah talks about prophecies of Messiah, all of the prophets of the Old Testament point to Jesus as the fulfillment of the Messiah promise. There's also powerful studies in here, testimonies in here from people today who've become followers of Jesus, thoroughly convinced by the radical evidence. How can you get a copy of this audiobook? Just write to us at our regular email address, sshope@hopetv.org, and in the subject line, just put free offer. We'll send you the link so you can download this powerful resource. I'm excited to see what God is doing, fulfilling all of the prophecies of the Bible, but this is about Jesus, the Messiah. Today, though, comfort ye my people. We're always happy to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School members around the world. Do you like hearing the emails?
Yeah.
People's lives are being changed. I get excited. Use my favorite Hebrew word, hallelujah. Here's from Colette in Jamaica. Anybody with Jamaican heritage? I don't think so, right? Nicole sometimes is on our team, and Tricia Lee. This is from Colette. She says, I was introduced to Hope Sabbath School by a church brother in 2010. And I've been watching ever since. I use the outline to teach my class when it's my turn to teach.
Amen.
Great idea. You can download from hopetv.org/hopeSS the same outline that we use in our class. In fact, you can share it with everybody in the group and you can follow along together. I watch the program at least once a week. Please pray for my family and say hi to everyone, especially those with Jamaican ties. Well, we have a lot of Jamaican Hope Sabbath School members back in your homeland, Colette, and we're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Here's a note from Stacy in Tennessee in the United States of America. Thank you for what you do, Stacy writes. I discovered Hope Sabbath School when we were in quarantine due to COVID-19. And now I'm hooked. Well, that's a colloquial expression for those of you around the world. It means I keep watching and I can't stop. I enjoy your class so much, I use your Hope Sabbath School app. Well, we've got an app called Hope Channel. You can download it from the App Store, right? iPhone, you have an app store or Google Play. Download the app. It's free. It's in more than 220 countries around the world. You can not only watch Hope Sabbath School, but other powerful programs on the Hope Channel. So that's what Stacy's doing. I was never in the habit of watching a variety of teaching programs, but COVID has kept me at home more. I know COVID's been difficult. However, I'm very thankful that it helped me discover Hope Sabbath School and helped me in my Bible studies.
Amen.
Doesn't it say God can work all things for good?
Yes.
The pandemic isn't good, but what God's doing, Stacy, in your heart is wonderful. Blessings to all. May you continue to be used by God in these last days. Mm. Praise God. Thanks, Stacy, for writing from Tennessee. Here's a note from Deng. In South Sudan. I greet you in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
I'm so glad for the programs on Hope Sabbath School. I like all of the presentations. I wish you would pray for my country, South Sudan, to have peace and freedom as it is in the world. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Deng, I'm sorry to tell you, but there are many other places in the world that don't have freedom. But we can be thankful for the freedom we do have.
Amen.
And we're so thankful that even when there's trouble, we have freedom in Jesus. Here's a note from a donor in California. Today, we're sending a donation to say thank you to you and your team. Our home was destroyed by fire in 2018 when a fire consumed most of the town of Paradise, California. After the fire, many generous donors from around the world reached out to us and provided support and sent money. Now that we are on our way to recovery, we want to send Hope Sabbath School a gift as a way to pay forward the generosity we receive.
Amen.
Please put our donation of $1,040, to the best use of your ministry. Well, I want to thank the couple in California, and I want to thank you. This is a donor-supported ministry. You can go to hopetv.com/donate. It's that simple. But thank you for sending a note, too, because it's an encouragement to us. And I'm so thankful that God is providing for you there. Here's one last note from Emmanuel. Emmanuel is a South African working in Saudi Arabia. Did I tell you we're going to over 220 countries around the world? Such a pleasure to watch and listen to the Word of God from such a vibrant team. I started watching Hope Sabbath School in 2019 when I moved to the Middle East. My country is South Africa, but I came to Saudi Arabia for a project, and I'll be going back home when the project is completed. Hope Channel and Hope Sabbath School has blessed me beyond my understanding. We thank God for such a team. Keep up the good work. You're a blessing to all of us who are not able to attend church. Well, Emmanuel, thanks for writing to us from South Africa. And you know, there are many, even in lands of freedom, that can't go to church right now. The churches are closed, but the gospel is not bound.
Amen.
God is going to continue to work. And we're just so thankful that you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Right now, we need you to sing a song with us. It's our theme song from Isaiah chapter 55. It says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Let's sing together.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return
I love the message of that song. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Travis, as you lead us in our study today, I know the Holy Spirit's going to bless.
Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're grateful to be here today to study about comfort to God's people. Father, as we study, we ask for the Comforter, the one who inspired the Bible, to be here in our presence today.
Amen.
Father, we're living in troublesome times, and we just pray for the countries around the world who are suffering. Dang from South Sudan and the countries around. We pray for our viewers too, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will rest upon them as they come along in our study with us. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Are you having a fun time with this study?
Yes.
The book of Isaiah is an amazing study. It's become one of my favorite books of the Bible. And today we're studying about comfort to my people. And Harold, if you would start off in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2, let's read some words of comfort from the gospel prophet.
Sure. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it reads, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her, that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins."
So what do you think about that verse, with those verses? As I was reading and going through this study, one thing troubled me, that she had received double for her sins. Is God a God who pays double for people's sins? Or what is the context of this verse? What does he mean? What's happening here? John?
You know, Isaiah writes this at a time when Judah was really under the duress and attack of the enemy empires around. And so they had not only dealt with the results of their own idolatry and sins, but now they were feeling the external pressures from outside. And God wanted to reassure them of his presence and that they had hope.
So did they really receive double for their sins? I think we get a clue in the book of Nehemiah, or in Ezra, Ezra chapter 9, verse 13. If Lisa, you could read that for us. Mm-hmm. Let's see what Ezra the scribe says about this.
What's the verse?
Ezra chapter 9, verse 13. And again, we're looking in the context of what is God charging them, double for their sins.
Ezra chapter 9, verse 13, from the New King James Version, it says, "And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great guilt, since you, our God, have punished us less than our iniquities deserve and have given us such deliverance as this."
Praise God, he's given them less. The scribe Ezra says he's given them less than they deserve. So what is God saying here? What is happening? I think we could find a clue in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 7. If I could have Nancy, if you would read that for us, let's see what God means here when he's speaking through the prophet Isaiah.
I'm reading from the New King James Version, and it reads, "Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs."
Wow, praise God. What an amazing revelation. So, Harold, I see you have your hand up. What do you think?
Well, I mean, one thing that I want to bring out is, it's not that God punishes as if he just wants to do it. We can't forget that in the end, it is our choices that pushes God out of the picture. Mm-hmm. And since God is not our protector, we allow Satan to be our leader when we sin, and now Satan is in control of our lives. But we know that God is always there, ready to help us as well. Because I do want to read a verse from Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17, kind of giving us like that picture that Israel actually decided to follow foreign gods and other leaders aside from God. And this is like what happened to them.
Okay, give us a second to find it.
Yeah,
Nehemiah 9, 17?
Yes. Actually, could we actually start from verse 16?
Sure.
16 and 17, just to give a little bit more context. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it says, "But they and our fathers acted proudly, hardened their necks, and did not heed your commandments. They refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them. But they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. But you are God, ready to pardon, mm-hmm. gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them." And to give more context, because Nehemiah is recounting the story of the deliverance from Exodus, from the Egyptians, found in the book of Exodus. And we see that even when Israel saw all the mighty works of God, they were like, well, you know, regardless, the sin was like taking hold of their lives. But yet we see that God was always there, like ready to help them regardless of their choices, because he's always ready to pardon. So I just wanted to make that distinction. It is not God that wants to like just punish us. It is more like we choosing Satan kind of like allows him to attack us.
Yes, dear.
You know, it's clear that sin brings consequences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They ended up in exile, right? I mean, there is no doubt about that. But God does not treat us as we would, as human beings treat each other.
Mm. Right.
There is a text in the New Testament that says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's like the paradox. We maybe would deserve a double beating, and instead he offers forgiveness, cleansing, salvation. And I think it's ultimately the love of God that changes our hearts. But there's still consequence for transgression.
So while there is consequences, it's God's not ideal to punish us and hold us in captivity, but he wants to bless us.
Hallelujah.
And it was Jesus, right, that took our sins and trade to give us the double blessing that Lisa had read about. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
We serve an amazing God. Somebody should say hallelujah, Derek. So what do you, how do you feel about these words as we've kind of launched ourselves into Isaiah chapter 40? What do these words mean to you? How do you feel about that, Gladys?
Well, the part that got my attention from the verses that we read in Isaiah 40 is that it said, proclaim to her that her service has been completed, that her sins has been paid for. That's the part that got my attention. It's basically telling her, you know what? Just be comforted. Your sins are paid for.
The iniquities have been pardoned. Amen. Is that awesome?
Praise God.
Praise God. So what are some other Bible promises that bring you comfort and assurance when you face trials in today's life? Anybody have any Bible promises that mean something to them?
Yes.
Yeah? Harold, do you have one?
Yeah, I have Psalm 46, verse 1.
Psalm 46, verse 1. Anybody else have one that they would like to share after that? Okay.
So I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it reads, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Mm. Praise God.
And I've gone through so much heartaches and troubles in my life and God always came through and always sent people my way to help me and put me in families that supported me as if they were like my own family.
Mm. Praise God. Yeah.
You serve a God who wants to bless you doubly.
Yes.
Doubly. Gladys, what is the verse that you have for us?
Psalm 34, verse 18. And I'm reading from the New International Version. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit.
Mm. Wow.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Nancy, you have one?
Yes, Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5.
Oh, Revelation 21, 1 through 5.
And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Should I start? Okay.
Yep.
Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, Amen. And they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new.
Praise God. God. Yeah. You know, I think about John and his state of mind while he was writing that, alone on an island, no more sea, looking forward to the day when he could be with his friends, with God. He was the most loved disciple, right? The Bible says that. Can you imagine his thoughts about being back with his Creator again? What an amazing thought that is. Thank you.
I think the Holy Spirit, Travis, really impressed Nancy to read that text, because we just heard today that a family member of one of our team just died of COVID.
Mm.
And some know that my mother died just a few months ago also. And that promise is not just, you know, Isaiah's promise 2,700 years ago for them. It's a promise for us today and comfort to people.
It is comfort. Amen. I think in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, it ends with, these will be words of comfort for you, right?
When comfort one another with
these
words.
And that's in the context of someone dying in Jesus. We don't have to worry about, as others who have no hope.
That's right.
So,
powerful.
And the reason we don't have to is because we have a Savior. Amen?
Amen.
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 And He's coming back.
And He's coming. And that's what we're going to, the next part of our lesson is talking about preparing the way for the Lord.
Praise God. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have John read Isaiah chapter 43 through 5. Isaiah chapter 43 through 5. Would you read that for us, John?
Sure. And this is from the New King James Version. It says, 40 verse 5, 3 through 5. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Praise God. So when was this prophecy fulfilled?
When John the Baptist was preaching about Jesus coming.
About the coming of the Messiah, right?
Mm-hmm.
So did this prophetic message end with the first coming of Jesus, or is there still a prophetic message needed today?
Absolutely. We're waiting for His second coming. And so we're looking forward for God to come back to us in the person of Jesus Christ. So we look forward to His second advent.
So are we to proclaim the message?
Absolutely.
Yes. I think in the book of Revelation 14, 6 through 7, it talks about a messenger, an angel or angelos in the Greek, a messenger with the same message that John the Baptist had. Could I get Lisa, would you read that for us?
Okay. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 to 7. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water.
So the gospel is good news, everlasting good news. Could those be words of comfort?
Yes.
Especially to a world that seems to be falling apart, where we're restricted and kept from each other the way we are right now. With death and decay all around us, let's go to Isaiah chapter 46 through 8. And in the context, what brings stability to our lives? Okay, what can bring stability to our lives? We know this is going to be in the context of Jesus, right? Because we're preparing the way for the Lord. And if I could get Gladys to read that.
Isaiah 40, verses 6 through 8. I'm reading from the New International Version. A voice says, cry out. And I said, why should I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever.
Wow, that is a packed verse when you break it down, because it seems like the world is falling apart. Things are happening. Decay and death are happening. But the word of the Lord stands forever. The word of God stands forever. Is the word of God stands forever, that phrase used in the verse, is that a reference to a saying, to that saying, or is it to the word which became flesh and dwelt among us, or both?
Or both.
I think it is both. And there's that assurance, because many of the words that were revealed by the prophets were pointing to the word of God who would become flesh, mm-hmm. and that he will stand forever.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus told the Pharisees, you search the scriptures daily, for in them you think you have eternal life, mm-hmm. but these are they that testify of me. Mm-hmm. So the word of God that stands forever is Jesus, the incarnate Jesus that came and dwelt with us and died for us. The exchange, he took the double sin or the double punishment for our double blessing, mm-hmm. in exchange for you to have eternal life. Is that amazing?
Mm. Amen. Amen.
And that's the God that we serve. But it also the promises that we have through the word of God, because we don't have Jesus physically here, tangible with us right now. But we have his words, his promises that can get us through each day and each situation that we face.
You know, I know we've perhaps read the beginning of John's gospel, but there may be thousands of people watching today who've never read that. And I think that opening inspired word in John chapter 1 is really important, mm. because it clearly identifies the Son of God who comes, the one who created all things.
As the Word.
Is the Word who became flesh. Yep. So I don't know if we could take time to read that text.
Sure we can. I think we have some time. Sure.
Yes.
Let's read that. John chapter 1, 1 through 3 probably, right? Mm-hmm. Derek? Right. Nancy, would you read that
sure.
for us?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it.
Could you read verse 14 then for us?
Yes. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory.
Yes.
The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Mm.
Hallelujah.
One pastor told me, he says, always remember when you're thinking of God, think of Jesus, because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So as I'm thinking about Jesus becoming flesh, coming and taking our sins, and the idea of God being a loving, kind, gentle God just fills my mind.
Amen.
And that's just an amazing thought. We often wonder, what is God like, just to look at the life of Jesus? Mm-hmm. That's what God is like. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Mm-hmm. The next portion of our lesson is a bearer of good tidings. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9, we're going to read about the coming of the Messiah. And John, if I could have you read that for us, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9, let's read about the coming of the Messiah.
Sure thing. And from the New King James, it says, O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God.
Mm-hmm. In the account of the birth of Messiah, who were the first ones to hear this message of good news? Was it the Jews?
No, the shepherds.
The shepherds.
It was the shepherds, right? The Jews knew about it, though, didn't they?
Yeah.
They knew.
The shepherds
well,
were Jews, too.
Right.
Yeah. The religious leaders.
The Pharisees.
Because didn't they say when Bethlehem, I mean, they knew the details, mm-hmm. but they weren't looking for him.
Mm-hmm. But it wasn't just Jews that the message came to.
The Magi, right?
Whoever had been studying and just ready to receive God's word, that's who he came to first.
Mm-hmm. So this gives me a picture of a God who is not just for a specific group of people, mm-hmm. right? The gospel message, the everlasting good news, the double blessing was meant for the entire world. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
And so here God, who's ever open to receive it, it seems to me, is who the angels are coming to mm-hmm. who's ever open. Mm-hmm. So how does the prophet Isaiah describe the work of those who bring the good tidings about God's deliverance? And that's found in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. Gladys, would you read that for us?
Sure.
Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. How does the prophet describe the work of those who bring the good tidings about God's
deliverance? I'm smiling because when I was little, we learned this as a song. So I like this one. Isaiah 52, 7. I'm reading from the New International Version. And he says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns.
Praise God. You know, Gladys, I have to confess, when I was little and read that, I thought, God says they have really good feet. But I don't know. I don't think that that's what he's talking about. I thought, so when I go and teach and preach the gospel, my feet are going to be clean. That's what I would. And I did really think that way. But what is he saying here?
Basically, it's just you are like a.
Is it the message or is it the feet that's beautiful?
It's the message that they bring that brings joy, that brings gladness to everybody who hears it.
Praise God, that's right.
But it took feet to bring them.
It took feet to bring them.
Because even Hope Sabbath School today, we're in a studio, right, with COVID restrictions, but it took feet
to get
for
here.
You and for you. So God uses people.
Yeah. So you're saying, Derek, when we're walking in the direction and bringing the gospel message to people, that makes God happy.
I think angels and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit look when we're moving in that mission and say, that is beautiful.
Praise God. I agree.
So it's a moving. It's a going.
Yes.
Yeah. Travis, and yes, now when Gladys was saying that it was a song she learned as a child, I wanted to say earlier when we were reading in Isaiah 40 and the other verses that I'm reminded of Handel's Messiah. I don't know if you're familiar with it. We have it every Christmas time. We're playing the music, and it's so beautiful because God uses us. He uses our, whoever is willing. And so Handel was willing to write God's word in song. And so many choirs over so many years have memorized these scriptures. I mean, I'm reading in Isaiah, and I know it all by heart, all these words, because of Handel's Messiah. And so God uses whatever we have to offer, whatever we give to him, to advance his gospel.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Well, it's testimony time. So I know that each and every one of you who have had beautiful feet at one time, and today, right, we're bringing the gospel to the world. Your feet are shining. Share a testimony when you've been able to share the good news of the gospel with somebody. Is there some testimonies? Yes, Lisa.
And I wanted to just add, the feet go through some things. The journey can be pretty tough and rough. And I remember that last year I was able to go back to my home country of Kenya, and I did an evangelistic meeting. And let's just say my feet got pretty muddy because it was rainy. It was rainy season there. But I just remember just seeing people's hopes renewed, their faith being built up, just because of the teachings we're able to do and to uplift the community. So I definitely want to agree with what is being said, that it's truly a beautiful thing to be able to bring good news to a community.
But according to Isaiah 52:7, God was looking at those feet and he was happy. He was happy.
I know Lisa's a humble spirit, and God uses a humble spirit, but I just want to testify that over 380 young people were baptized as a result of one location where she preached.
We better use your favorite Hebrew
Hallelujah.
Word.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And I think not only are the feet beautiful, even though they were muddy, but the end result of sharing that good news is truly beautiful when people say, I'm going to surrender my heart to Jesus as my Savior.
We have a message to share, Derek.
Hallelujah. Amen.
We have a message to share. Any more testimonies? Yes, Gladys.
I know that now during COVID time, people are in quarantine and all the things, it gets harder to meet with other people. But I have found like what I call a calling, a ministry, and it's through text. The Lord impresses me a name. I always pray for a name, for the Lord to give me a name that to pray for, to reach out. And the result has been amazing. People that I have not spoken for years, maybe, I have just contacted them, and it has been in a moment that they have needed encouragement. They had needed prayer. They had needed support. A friend of mine, she had a lump in her breast, and I didn't know anything. And I just texted her. I said, I feel impressed to share this verse with you. And it has been such a blessing to just let the Lord lead me to people that need encouragement.
Even just a phone call, even a text message, something to let somebody know you care, that's part of sharing the gospel.
Yes.
Amen. It's taking the time to be with somebody or to spend time with somebody. That's the gospel message. That's part of the gospel message.
Amen.
Ultimately, the gospel message is Jesus, right?
Yeah. That's right.
But and we're all part of the plan, all part of sharing the message. Well, the next portion of our lessons, the Lord God, a good shepherd. I'm particularly excited about the next portion of the lesson because I grew up on a farm when I was little, and we took care of sheep. So when I read about sheep in the Bible, it means something to me. I was there when we were shearing them. And when the book of Isaiah says that Jesus was quiet as a sheep brought to a shear, I remember the lambs would just lay there while you just sheared them. And so all of these things mean something to me, a lot more to me, because I was able to take care of them. And by the way, sheep aren't that smart.
They're not.
They need a lot of care. And so this idea that God is the, Jesus is the shepherd, is really an amazing theme through Scripture. Mm. So let's read from Isaiah chapter 40, 10 through 11. And John, I would like you to read that if you would. Isaiah chapter 40, 10 through 11. And we're going to look at why is the representation of the Lord as a loving shepherd such good news. Mm. Would you read that for us?
The New King James says, "Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young."
What are some loving verbs that you pick out of there? God is what he's do, what the shepherd is doing.
Carries, tends, rewards,
gathers,
leads.
Arm. Yeah. I mean, it's not.
And so, in the context, if we are the sheep, and we are the sheep, that's what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. What a picture of a loving Savior. Do these not bring words? Are these not words of comfort to the soul?
Amen. Amen.
Yes, Gladys.
Well, I have read a lot that the sheep, you know, are stubborn. You know, and just to read there that says that he gently leads them, that must take a lot of patience, you know, because they like to go this way or that way. So gentle, our Savior is gentle.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Harold.
And I've strayed away from God like many times, and I've never seen God as being harsh, like, oh, why did you do this again? But it's like gently calling me back, leading me back to the fold. Like, wow, thank you for your patience, Lord. Thank you that you're so merciful and gentle with me.
And yes, Lisa.
Oh, a different thing stood out to me, which is the strong hand. Just because of the dangers that are out there, it comforts me to know that, you know, God is strong enough to protect me when sometimes I can't protect myself or defend myself.
That's right. Wow.
And I see there's a mother with a child. You know, and so when we had sheep and they were, when you went to chase or gather the sheep, the lamb would get confused. And so it would run away and they would get separated. And there's such a loving description of how he handles the mother with her child. I thought, wow, this is a beautiful thing. Like, he's patient. He wants to make sure they're not separated, but he wants to bring them along together. And God has just incorporated the whole family, so to speak, in this. And we are one big family. Amen. Amen. And in the idea that he's a shepherd looking over his flock. Beautiful. Thank you for that.
Beautiful.
We need protection, don't we?
We do.
Yes. Because there's an enemy, and he's a wolf. And so the wolf comes to scatter the sheep in John chapter 10. Mm. So we have to be careful. We want to always listen to our shepherd. Mm-hmm. So where? Yes,
you know,
there.
That verb to carry that you mentioned reminds me of a parable Jesus told about a shepherd who lost one of his 100 sheep. And such love for each individual, the good shepherd will leave the 99. And when he finds that sheep, the scripture says he put it on his shoulders. That is a very intimate picture. Mm-hmm. It's not, and he dragged the sheep back, you know, by its ear. He puts it on his shoulders. And I just sense today that there are many people around the world who need a picture of a God like that.
Yes.
He is an amazing God of love and care. Mm-hmm. And this picture that you mentioned in Isaiah, the prophet, of the shepherd caring in a loving way, I think it's just something the world needs to hear.
Mm, amen, Derek. I agree with you.
Yeah.
So where else in the Bible do we see the Lord described as a shepherd? Where else in the Bible do you see?
Psalm 23.
Psalm 23. Let's read Psalm 23. Anyone want to read that for us who hasn't read? Lisa, you haven't read in a little bit. Would you read for us, please?
Sure.
Psalm chapter 23. We're reading about the good shepherd.
Okay, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Mm-hmm.
He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
That's an amazing, amazing testimony of the love of God and of a shepherd. He says that he does this for his name's sake. He wants the blessing, bless us, so that we will in turn be a blessing to others, that we will have a testimony to share, and that's powerful. God wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing, so that we can be have the feet and go and share the gospel, the beautiful feet that's described in Isaiah 52, 7. Well, let's read also in John chapter 10, 11 through 16. This is an amazing verse, or amazing verses, and I was impacted when I read this. It just almost brought tears to my eyes about a loving shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 11 through 16. John, would you read that for us, please?
Sure thing. And again, the New King James says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd.
Wow. Does this message include everybody? Yes. Many sheep I have who are not of this fold, but there'll be one flock.
Praise God.
God does want unity, doesn't he, between his believers. Mm-hmm. But he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this idea of the shepherd giving his life brought this thought to my mind that Jesus is called the Lamb, Lamb of God in the scriptures. And so I contemplated that as I was studying this, and I thought, but he's a shepherd, but he's a lamb, but he's a shepherd. And then I thought, wait, Jesus only becomes the lamb when the lamb has to die. He becomes our substitute, taking our sins, double punishment, so that we could have the double blessing. And then that thought just, he became one of us, the incarnate. We just read, the word became flesh. Mm-hmm. He became the lamb. The good shepherd becomes the lamb. He wants to take care of us, and he wants to take our place when we've erred and gone in a sinful way. Mm. So how do these verses and this idea, how does this impact you as we read and discuss this?
You know, this picture of Jesus and the Father is also the shepherd. Right. Really impacted me this summer with the death of my parents. Because both my mother and father, their favorite verse was in John 10. Where it says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one, this is the good shepherd speaking, no one can snatch them out of my hand. But then it went on in verse 29 of John 10 and it said, the Father's greater than all and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. So I see the good shepherd and the Father holding us with loving hands. And I just have to testify that that picture for me, going through the dark valley of the valley of the shadow of death we just read about with the death of both of my parents, I just found tremendous peace, Travis. Because no one, not even the kingdom of darkness itself can snatch them from the good shepherd's hand.
And Derek, you know, my mother passed away just a few years ago too. And these are words of comfort because guess what? Resurrection morning.
Amen.
We get to see them. No one can snatch them. Even though they're sleeping in Jesus, they're safe.
Amen.
And we get to see them again. What a glorious day that will be. We get to see Jesus, the good shepherd. Anybody else, how are these words have been, how have they inspired you?
I think we live in a world that is so performance-based, you know, if you're not good enough, you get kicked out, it's survival of the fittest. But here again, it assures us it's not about how good we are or how hard we have to work. Really, it's about placing our trust in God, Amen. Who will complete that work in us. And I think that it assures us not to be so stubborn and confident in our ways, but to daily surrender and trust in God.
Amen.
Yes, Harold.
Also, when Jesus is talking about he has other sheep in other fold, not within this fold, it has helped me also like have guys' lenses to see people the way he sees them and not like be like, oh, this person will not be saved and underestimate it, because it's so easy to, by perception, you develop this opinion of people. But it has helped me be more merciful, more patient, and have the love of Jesus to see like, wow, actually, I'm a sinner too. I'm not any different. I'm not any better. Jesus loves me as the same way as he loves that other person. So, I mean, I thank God like to give me that heart that he has.
And I used to think that this was just, you know, other denominations. Mm. But I believe it goes further than that. Cultures.
Yeah.
Cultures, societies, you know, wherever you are. If you're in a group of people, you're a flock because God desires to be your good shepherd. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So it's just amazing. The love of God is amazing. So the Lord God is our awesome creator and sustainer. We know, as Lisa said, that he protects us with his righteous right hand. Pastor Derek says, no one can snatch them from my hand, according to John. And so we want to read about God as our sustainer and as our creator. And Gladys, if you would read from chapter 40, Isaiah 40, verse 25.
I'm reading from the New International Version, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One.
So, what is the answer to the question?
None.
Who is this equal?
None.
let's read Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. Let's just, I'm actually going to have someone look up Isaiah 46, 9 through 10 as well. Let's, if I could have Harold read, that would be right.
So I'll be reading Isaiah 44, verse 6 from the New King James Version. It says, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God.
Amen.
Amen. Nancy, would you read for us 46, 9 through 10 then?
Yes. 46, 9 and 10. From the New King James Version. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do my pleasure.
God is not only our creator, but God knows the beginning from the end. That's one thing that distinguishes God from any other God, is he actually knows the future, right? He's the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So he knows what is going to come. He knows what you're thinking. God knows everything, right? Yes, Nancy.
It fills me with confidence. It reminds me of the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had in Daniel 2, where he sees the statue with, you know, the head of gold and all down to the end. And if we study scripture, we know how it's going to end, so we have nothing to fear. Mm-hmm. We just have to proclaim God's goodness and just show his love to people as he has shown to us, and we know we have nothing to worry about.
That's right. Amen. Someone told me one time, I know how the book ends. Jesus wins. I think you told me that, Jerry.
And you know, while we were talking about first and last, in the New Testament, in Revelation 1, it says, the Lord says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's the letters like A through Z or Z. You know, it's like I'm the beginning. In fact, I'm before the beginning. I'm the one who was and is to come. Mm-hmm. And that's the true God worth resting our lives in his care, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end.
And Derek, those words bring comfort from Revelation because we know that our past has been redeemed, right? Our presence makes sense and our future secure.
Amen.
Always in
Praise
Jesus.
God.
That came from a That came from a poem you read 4 or 5 years ago at a
Fellowship
sermon.
Of the Unashamed. Right. Powerful. Yeah.
I remember that. That was amazing.
Past has been redeemed. Present makes sense because of Jesus.
That's right.
And my future is secure. Right. Hallelujah.
Praise God. So why would people worship idols? If God is the only one, I think Isaiah 64:4 says, there's only one God who acts for those who wait on him. Mm. So throughout the universe, from the beginning of time, nobody's got results from their gods except those who've worshiped the only true God. So why would somebody worship an idol? Why would somebody worship an idol? John, if you would read Isaiah chapter 40, 18 through 20, we want to answer that question. Why would somebody do this?
Let's find out here. New King James says, to whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare him to him? The workman molds an image, the goldsmith overspreads it with gold, and the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter.
So why would people make idols and worship them? Do you have any idea why people would do that?
You know, that goes to show you, I think, the longing in the human heart to have something that it regards as supreme in their lives or that holds stability. And for those that don't know God, they look for it in the material things around. But I think it still stems from that desire to have something of substance.
Gladys.
We were made for worship. And men, just like John said, longs to worship something. Like I read this week, that the human heart has a void the size of God. And if you don't know God, you will try to fill it in with other things. But that void only can be filled with God.
Could it be that there's people out there who are worshiping idols haven't actually tasted and seen that the Lord was good?
Yes.
Could it be that? Could that be it? Derek?
I think also, Travis, as you look at the great controversy between good and evil, I mean, ideally, Satan would like us to worship him. He told Jesus, bow down and worship me, and I'll give you. By the way, he was lying because
it
doesn't belong to him. But that would be his ideal, that we all would worship him, Satan, because he wants to be like God, not in beautiful character, but he wants all the authority that belongs to God. But if you can't get that, he's actually, I think, very content that we worship anything other than the one true God.
That's right.
And through that, we actually are giving the worship to him.
We've at least believed his lies.
Right. Yeah.
And he's deflected us. So, you know, I don't think he's that concerned if we're worshiping a tree or worshiping a rock. As long as we're
not God.
Worshiping the one true God.
So what kind of things can be adulterous to us today? I mean, what kind of things can we use, to be adultery today? Wow. And we want to be careful because we don't want to point fingers. This could apply to ourselves as well, right? Because we're not perfect. Yeah. We also can have idols as Christians, right?
Yeah, anything that takes the place of God is an idol. Anything. Can be time, a TV, our phones.
Not a cell phone.
Yes.
Oh. Well, there's people. There's even shows with the name idol in it where we follow like musicians, artists, sports people, and we have like our energy is so focused on them. It's like, and we want to become like them, which is funny. It kind of directing us away from God. We want to be like God, but now we want to be like man. So those are things can also attract us.
And actually, those are not similar at all, man and God.
No, correct.
They're actually completely opposite.
Yeah.
But we may get the idea that it would be power, but actually, Jesus showed power by demonstrating love. So love is the most powerful thing. Yes,
that's
Nancy.
Right. Or we could even use our education as an idol. There are things that we come to rely on instead of God. We think we can achieve without God, and that becomes our idol. And I wanted to say also that I think people want something to hang on to, because the idea of a God that you can't actually hold or see is difficult for us. That's why we long to see him face to face. If even in our daily communications, would you rather write an email or would you rather talk to the person face to face? Right, that's what we long
for. Right. So how can we point somebody to the one true God? How can we do that? We got 1 minute left.
Isaiah 40, 28 to 31, I think would be a powerful verse to share.
It would be. Can we read that quick?
Yes.
All right. Gladys, would you read that for us?
Yes. Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31. Reading from the New International Version. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint.
Praise God. Amen. Point them to Jesus.
Amen.
The only safe place to be.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Travis. You know, what a powerful illustration of what God, the only true God, can do. Now, I want to challenge you, if you've got idols in your house, whether they're idols given to you by your ancestors or idols you made yourself, get rid of them and worship the one true God. Amen?
Amen.
He is the creator of the heaven and the earth. He is also our awesome Savior who loved the world so much. The Son of God came into humanity, the Word made flesh. If you want some more radical evidence that Jesus is indeed the true Messiah, don't forget to write to us and get this free audiobook, Radical Evidence. Use our regular email address, sshope@hopetv.org, and in the subject line, just put free offer. We'll send you a link to get download the audiobook. It will bless your life and strengthen your witness as a follower of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we have received comfort today. That was the title of the study, Comfort My People. Mm. And that comfort is found in knowing you, knowing your beautiful character and your unfailing love. I pray that each one within the sound of my voice, that we would rest in you as our creator and savior and find peace in you today. In Jesus' name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. What an amazing series. Isaiah, the gospel prophet. My friend, you need more than just information. You need a savior. So trust Jesus, the savior, today. And then go out and be a blessing to those around you.